Please turn with me to our sermon text in Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8, found on page 1005 in the Pew Bible. We will read the entirety of the chapter. Hebrews 8, this is the word of the Lord, infallible, inerrant. Please give it your full attention as it is read. Now the point in what we're saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. For he finds fault with them when he says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." And speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete, and what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. As far as the reading of God's Word. This is an incredibly rich chapter, and we do not have time to go over all the themes that I might like. So next week, we will be examining chapter 8 again, although we'll be examining more of the relation of the old covenant to the new covenant. But this morning, we're addressing the issue of Jesus' priesthood, which is first and foremost in the chapter. That is the main issue that the author of Hebrews is bringing out. Really, it's throughout the entire letter that he brings this out. But especially here this morning, we're going to examine Jesus' ongoing work as our great high priest, his ongoing work that he is our priestly mediator at the Father's right hand. Then we're going to examine his finished work. His finished work, as he is the perfect priestly sacrifice offered up for our sins. Now, I'm afraid that for many of us who are constant churchgoers, these two aspects of Christ's priestly ministry can become easy to skim over. After all, believing that Jesus died for my sins is a very basic tenet of the faith. It's one we must grasp early on in our Christian walk. And the same goes for Jesus mediating for us. Yes, yes, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for me. I know, I hear that every week, for weeks, for many weeks now. But do we really daily grasp our great sinfulness and our finding peace through Christ's sacrifice? And do we really find boldness and confidence to go to the Lord in prayer? Or is our faith often weak? The Christian life is one of peaks and of valleys, and often Jesus can feel far away. So often, we want Jesus to feel close to us. We want to be like Mary at his feet, listening to his teaching. We wish that we could be like John and lay our head on his breast and have Christ near to us, to cling to him. so that we can really know when we are down in the valley of our Christian walk that Jesus is there holding us. We often long to know that Christ is there to rescue us when we feel like we're drowning in life and just problem after problem is hitting us. Do we believe that Jesus is really there as our great high priest? We may not see Him with our eyes. He's not on earth. Praise God, He's not. But we can behold Him with the eyes of faith. We can know that our Jesus is as compassionate as ever, that He really is a great high priest who has died for us, and that He is listening to our prayers when we cry out to Him. So it's been my prayer this week, if you're weak in faith this morning, that today you would pour out your heart to Christ in prayer, and that Jesus would not feel so far away for you, but that you would know His great love for you, that you would know His continual care for you, and that He would feel closer than ever. And to get to that point, we first examine Jesus' ongoing work in heaven as our high priestly mediator. His ongoing work at God's right hand as He mediates for us. Our author gives us a summary right away, the first two verses. Isn't that nice? A summary of what he's been saying thus far in the letter. And we read, "Now the point of what we're saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man." Now a mediator. We know a mediator is a go-between. When two parties are at odds, when two people are having a disagreement, we might get a mediator to reconcile them. And we know, in the grand scheme of things, our sin puts us at odds with God, and we need a mediator to approach God, specifically in prayer, to stand before Him. Now, under the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, who were the mediators? They were the priests. The Old Testament priests mediated between God and man. And these first two verses of Hebrews 8 showcase the greatness of Christ's mediatorial priesthood. We read He is seated at the right hand of God. The Old Testament priests would stand, always standing, always sacrificing, always lighting incense, always having to purify themselves, always busy because their work was never done. One priest dies, his son takes his place, his son's son. It goes on and on continually. The busy and important work of mediating on behalf of the people in the tabernacle's holy place, but always standing because the work was never finished. Yet we read, Christ is seated in the ultimate holy place. And His being seated is symbolic that His work is finished, and His work is accepted. That we no longer have the priestly, the earthly priestly mediators interceding for us. Because Christ's work is perfect and accepted, and He is now seated at God's right hand. And He continues that perfect ministry of interceding for you in prayer. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. You ever wondered that? Why do we close prayers in Jesus' name? Because He is our mediator. And we pray in His name as He stands between us and God so that our prayers are heard. Now, the author of Hebrews knows, especially in the first century, that if some Hebrews are listening, they might object. They might say, really? Come on, where's your earthly mediator? You need an earthly mediator, an earthly priest. But we know the Christian answers this way. Jesus would be no good to us if He were still on earth, because He would be no priest at all. Why? Because His work would not be complete if He were still on earth. And this gets at verse 2, that Jesus is in the original holy place, ministering in heaven, at the Father's right hand, in the original tabernacle. The old covenant priests on earth would minister at the picture of the holy tabernacle where God dwelled. Verse 5 says they interceded at the pattern of what was in heaven. And that was a glorious picture to the Old Testament saints. The priests mediated, interceded for them. They would have the smoke from the incense and the smoke from the sacrifices going up like prayers to God. But it was all shadowy. It was all types. It was all patterns. It wasn't the greatest. It wasn't fulfilled. It wasn't Jesus. But Jesus Christ, the great high priest, comes and intercedes for us in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. That is far greater than having a priest here on earth for us. Jesus' earthly work is complete and accepted, and now our priest is not in a picture of the holy place on earth. He's in the actual holy place. He's not sending prayers up like smoke to God. He is actually really at the Father's right hand, interceding in prayer for you. That old covenant has become obsolete and is vanishing away because Jesus comes and He makes the shadows clear. In other words, God finds fault with the old covenant because the human earthly priest couldn't actually intercede for you. So He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, because the covenant that Jesus mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. Verse 6. What are those promises? They're the same promises given in the old covenant, but better. Now, some of us might have been taught that the old covenant promises were merely earthly, they were merely external, they were merely temporal. And many Bible teachers, even today, don't see that these all point to spiritual realities. These teachers teach that there are entirely different promises between the old and the new covenant. But no, it's the same promises, but they're better in the new. And the old covenant saints knew this. We read that they longed for a better country. They didn't long to go to the promised land of Canaan. They longed for what that pointed to, a heavenly country. Hebrews 11:16 tells us that. They saw the promises given in the old covenant and they knew that they correlated to spiritual realities and promises that would become clearer, that would become better when the Messiah would come. And He has come in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, okay, so just what are the promises though? We read them in verses 10b and through 12 from the Jeremiah 31 passage that our author quotes. We read in those verses, the promises are that God will put, He says, I will put My laws into their minds, I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be My people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know Me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Now, we'll really dive into that next week. But take note, the promises that are given to these old covenant Christians become clearer when Christ comes. To illustrate this, you think of the way the sun rises. And it's just over the horizon. And it's shining, and it's shining bright. There's a lot of shadows. The world's not as clear as you walk out and look around as you might long for it to be. But come noon, and the sun's directly overhead. The shadows have disappeared, and the sun is burning bright. The same sun, but it has cleared away and has become better. So likewise, these promises are the same, but are more fully known and seen in the new covenant. We better conceive of God's mind, of His work in our hearts, which is so much better. And to get back to our first main point, our mediator and intercessor is better because He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our great high priest. The shadows of the old covenant are gone when Jesus comes. Why does that matter for your daily life? One, because you have no need to go through an earthly priest for intercession. It matters for your life because you can go straight to God with boldness, with confidence that you are heard because of your Savior. Do you need illumination? Do you need comfort? Do you need preservation? Do you need healing, deliverance from affliction? Do you want to be more like Christ and be more sanctified? Then pray. Because Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him. Since He always lives to make intercession for them. Draw near in prayer. Take advantage of the better promises that have been given you. Do you feel weak and feeble? Maybe not even able to pray. Not sure how to pray or what to say. Know that Jesus prays for you. And He has sent the Holy Spirit to help you. So grab a hold and believe what Jesus says. In John 14, He says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." So know that although Jesus is not on earth, He is in the most holy place ministering on your behalf as your great high priest. So that is Jesus' ongoing work in heaven. His other priestly duty we find in our chapter is His finished work, in which He died on the cross as the sacrifice for His people's sins because of His great love for them. In fact, this is why you can be assured that Jesus is hearing your prayers and that He is compassionate and interceding for you, because He loves you enough to die in your place as your great high priest. So let's look then at how Jesus' offering was greater and fulfills the Old Covenant offerings. Verse 3. "For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer." Now, under the Old Covenant, the high priest would offer an animal sacrifice once a year in the most holy place, in the tent set up by man. And that sacrifice pictured the shedding of the blood for the sins of the church. But what was the problem with it? Why does God find fault with the priestly sacrifice in the Old Covenant? Hebrews 10:4. "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." Rather, we need a great high priest to offer up a sacrifice that is better and more excellent. And here is where Christ obtains the better ministry, by being the great high priest who offers up Himself as the sacrifice to actually take away sins. Praise God, He is not a priest on earth, because that would mean He hadn't taken away our sins yet if Jesus were still on earth. But as it is, He is in heaven, a sacrifice accepted by the Father, and He is seated at His right hand. Why? Because His work is finished. Jesus has no need to be running around purifying Himself, making more sacrifices in a man-made tent, because His perfect sacrifice on the cross truly paid for our sins. That is His finished work as our great high priest. I think for us to grasp, though, the greatness of Jesus' sacrifice, we must first grasp our great need for it, because we are great sinners. What does that mean, we are sinners? That we have broken God's moral law, as summarized in the Ten Commandments. We've done things we shouldn't have done or left things undone. We've said things we've thought things we ought not. And God hates it. And we should hate it as well. It's only when our sins really become a stench in our nostrils that we gaze upon the beauty of Christ's priestly work on the cross. How He was the sacrifice that shed His blood for us, and He has brought peace between us and God. In the Old Covenant, when you sinned, you had to bring a sacrifice to be killed, to have its blood shed, but no more. The new and better covenant has come. And when we sin now, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Is He your advocate? Is He your mediator, your great high priest, your peace between God and you? Friend, if you are here this morning and you're not trusting in Christ as your mediator, not trusting in Christ as your sacrifice, I'd urge you to consider the seriousness of not having a living mediator at God's right hand. There are no Christian priests left on this earth, but there are many false priests roaming around. Who is your priest? Who is it that explains the way the world works? Explains why evil exists? Explains how to overcome evil? Explains how to get to your heavenly home, to a perfect land that we all desire? Who is it that explains how to be at peace with God for you? Who is your priest? The scientists? They help us live longer. They can save us from the world of destruction. Maybe they can make the planet a paradise. Perhaps your priests are the politicians. They can do away with crime. They can create jobs. Maybe they can even bring utopia to our nation. Can I trust them to be my priest? Maybe the celebrities. They teach us to accept one another, to be tolerant. Maybe they can create a perfect world of love that we can live in. But most likely, if you are here this morning not believing, your great high priest is yourself. How so? Priests do two things. They pray and they sacrifice for sin. Ask yourself if you need anyone else to come between you and God, or are you good on your own? Are you good enough that God will hear your prayer and accept your life as a sacrifice for sins without Jesus' mediation? And friend, the answer is no. You've sinned and broken God's law, and God is angry with you. The only priest that anyone can rely on is Jesus Christ. And if you turn from false priests and turn from yourself and turn to Christ, He will save you and He will be your great high priest. And it's such, as people turn from their sins and turn to Jesus, they are united to Christ by faith. And as Christians here this morning, you are united to Christ such that all that is His is yours. Specifically, as Christians under the new covenant, you are priests yourselves. 1 Peter 2:5, you yourselves, like living stones, are built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, this does not mean that you are your own mediator or that you can offer sacrifices or be a sacrifice for yourself. Okay, then what does that mean, that believers are priests? And it means three things. And we'll close with these three aspects of the priesthood of all believers, which really we've been hinting at as the application of this all along in the sermon. So these three aspects that, Lord willing, when practiced, will make Christ feel closer to you. Aspect one of your priesthood is that you can go straight to God in prayer through Christ. Christ is not on earth, but He is still near and compassionate as He hears your prayers. You have no need of an earthly priest because you have a heavenly one and you can talk to Him at all times. So let us have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. And let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. As you go through difficulties in this life and you feel overwhelmed, you have a friendly high priest in heaven that you may approach at all times thanks to Jesus' work as high priest. Aspect 2 of your priesthood is that you take God as your portion. The old covenant priests had no land because God was their portion. And brothers and sisters, this world is not our home. We have no land. Thus, one of our privileges as priests in Christ is that we can turn from earthly, worldly things to our great hope in God. We look not to the things that are seen, but we look to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Thus, we delight in the Lord and not earthly, material things. Troubles will come. Hard times are around the corner if they're not already staring you in the face. But we can have confidence that as we persevere as pilgrims in this world, that we will reach the celestial heavenly city. The world where there is no sorrow and no troubles. So it is our privilege as priests in Christ to cling to Him, knowing that He is our portion. And He will be with us. So we pray, we take God as our portion, and thirdly, we do have spiritual sacrifices. We are putting something to death as new covenant priests, and that is our fleshly, sinful nature. We are called to be mortifying sin in our lives. Be killing sin, or sin will be killing you, John Owen said. He's right. We are called to kill sin in our lives daily. So it is our priestly work of sacrificing our depraved flesh. Because Jesus Christ, the great high priest, has come and was sacrificed to God so that we may be at peace with Him, we are then set about a lifetime of putting the sinful flesh to death. Our thoughts and our words and deeds that we ought not to think or do or say. And as we put that sin to death, we are made more and more alive in Christ. Do you want to feel closer to Christ, to draw near to Him, to have Him draw near to you? Put to death your sins and live for Him. And you will find a compassionate, loving, great high priest who is our only mediator and our only sacrifice for sin. Amen.